It's about to go down.
Burning your ears with another all-killer and no-filler episode of the best motorsports radio on the planet. It's the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. With your host, Jim Beaver.
Sliding trophy trucks, jumping razors, and dropping the mic at events across the country.
Amy Hood.
What's up, guys? I'm a professional fun haver, dirt bike rider, and monster truck driver.
With support from Polaris Razor, General Tire, Subaru, and Dirtfish. Hang on tight, strap in, and get ready to smoke some tires and lay some roost. Here's the man who carries a steering wheel in one hand and a mic in the other. Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I am your host, Jim Beaver, coming at you with a slam-packed show with some of the best in action motorsports. I don't know. All kinds of motorsports. Anyways, welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Today's guest, man, coming at you, we got my boy Steve Torrence, NHRA Top Fuel Pilot winner on the weekend, as well as your current points leader in NHRA. We also got my boy Matty Brabs, a.k.a. Matt Brabham. He is your SST winner. Had a little bit of shenanigans happening there at Texas Motor Speedway, but he's your winner on the weekend and your current points leader in Stadium Super Trucks. And then we also have Keegan Kincaid, Crandon's own Keegan Kincaid. He's on the line here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show as well, talking about the new Lucas Oil Midwest Short Course League, as well as Crandon this weekend, man, kicking off the new Lucas Oil Midwest Short Course League with Crandon, the big house. We've got the Brush Run coming at you this weekend. 225-plus entries. It's going to be a great one. I will be there doing TV for Lucas Oil. Make sure and tune in to that live stream. It's Lucas Oil TV. You can catch all the fun right there. It's going to be a ton of fun. And then later on, at a later date, it'll be airing on TV. We'll let you know those dates, details, and all the things Lucas Oil TV as we get closer. But, man, great day to be in the studio here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Anytime you get to go short course racing at the end of the week, or at least call short course racing, it's a good time. So we're going to be taking fan Q&A, fan questions, talking some pro moto, and a whole lot more this week here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you, but you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. Since 1970, Casey Highlights has been designing and manufacturing performance lighting for off-road and motorsports. Beginning with the legendary Daylighter up until today's revolutionary Flex, Pod, and Pro 6 lighting systems, Casey Highlights offers a full line of halogen, HID, and LED lighting solutions for your off-road vehicle. Looking for the best quality lighting? Looking for the brand champions choose? You're looking for KC Highlights. Find out more information at kchighlights.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at KC Highlights.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, kicking off our number one here, Jim Beaver, Amy Hood. And, man, it was a big weekend in motorsports, big couple of weekends. We got a lot to talk about today. We got Keegan Kincaid, Crandon local boy, on air talking Crandon. We got Maddie Brabs, Amy and my friend, who won the Stadium Super Trucks event there at Texas Motor Speedway. We've also got my boy, Steve Torrance, NHRA Top Fuel Points Leader, and winner on the weekend this past weekend. He's on the line in hour number two as well. So another slam pack show coming at you. But first off, a couple of notes. Did want to mention drag racing legend Tom Mongoose McEwen passed away this past, I guess yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this. And guy I've never met. We actually had a lot of mutual friends, but just a legend. He literally helped establish drag racing in this country. One of the very first big mega stars of the sport. So, you know, he was very old. You know, it was one of those, like, it's a legend. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just one of those. You got to pay your respects because he helped make NHRA what it is today. And that's saying something. But so that happened. But we've got some other big, exciting news. Crandon coming up this weekend, one I'm really excited about. We're going to talk about this with Keegan here in hour number one. But Keegan, you know, he'll be racing this weekend along with 225 entries at Crandon. That's including a ton of sportsmen. Sportsmen are actually going to get some TV time. But Crandon, you know, they pack 50,000 people in there on Labor Day. This will be my first time at June Crandon for the brush run. But I'm pretty excited. Amy, anytime you can go to a race and there's like 50,000 rednecks there and they got naked slip and slide going on up in the campground and like, it's so rowdy. I'm so excited. I went to Crandon last year. It was my first time actually there and it was like, I felt at home, if that makes any sense. Sometimes you just go to an event and you go, this is me. This is for me. And I get to go to Crandon this weekend and I don't know. I've only been there once, but it's like Disneyland. It's like one of my favorite places on earth. I don't know. Do you understand that?
50 rednecks and naked slip and slide is where you feel most at home, Jim. I mean, this is something very new that I did not know about you.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not in a suit and tie.
That's good to know.
Definitely not in a suit and tie. So, you know.
True. I didn't think it was. I thought maybe it was like more of a fire suit behind the wheel of a Razor, but, you know, not naked slip and slide in a field of hillbillies. But, you know, to each his own. Yeah. You're American. That's okay. I won't put it past you.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you, if you asked Travis Pastrana, where would he say he feels most at home? With a bunch of hillbillies doing naked slip and slide or to suit and tie? What's Trav going to tell you?
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So I'm just saying, and you surround us with 900 horsepower short course trucks, and life can't get better. Like, right? It's me and 50,000 of my closest redneck friends.
Well, you know, speaking about feeling most at home, Jim, I actually got to go and kind of resurrect the racing career. And I say this every year, obviously. It was funny because one of my girlfriends commented yesterday. She's like, Amy, you've like come back from retirement now like 20 times. You got to stop saying that. But I did. Like, I honestly feel like I completely resurrected the racing career because I drove 13 hours this weekend to go racing. And you talk about feeling most at home, and I was kind of thinking about this, and man, like, I've been driving monster trucks now for the last 2 years. I moved to California. I've been kind of like, you know, living this high life, like just, you know, really living out my dream. There was nothing that is feels cooler and feels more like myself and where I belong and, you know, feels like home than loading up the truck and trailer and going out racing and driving 13 hours to, you know, a race in a different state, people we don't know, and just lining up. Like, it's just brings up such nostalgic memories. I can't even express how good I felt this weekend and, you know, having a good time with my friends and meeting new people and winning races. Damn, it just feels so good. I felt so at home and I felt more like myself again. It's been kind of weird coming back to Winnipeg and coming back to Canada. You know, you get off this tour high almost, you know, just traveling the world and stuff. And, you know, this brings me back to my roots and I feel like it's where I belong.
Yeah. I get that. I completely understand that.
Yeah.
Like, with me, I mean, I've been fortunate. You know, I've been to IndyCar races this year, and you know, we went to stock car races at Charlotte at the stock car races and NHRA, and like, amazing people. I love everybody to death that I meet. I'm very fortunate, but I go home to a desert race at like the Mint 400 or Vegas Torino, and I see people that I grew up with that I've been around forever, and it's like. It's like I'm at home. Like, I get that, you know. It's like I love doing everything else, but it's like there's just something about being in the desert. Like, it just brings it all full circle to me. So I get it. I feel you, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's not necessarily like, you know, being with people that I know, because it's not racing my local series. It's this like, oh God, I can't believe I'm like making this reference, but they say like people who are drug addicts, right? They get addicted to the whole process about the process of it. And it's such the same thing as like motorsports. We always say like, it's a drug. It is. It's not necessarily going and winning races. Like, it is going to the grocery store, you know, figuring out what you need for the week and packing the trailer up and loading the bikes up. And, you know, I go across the border. I kind of know all the border guys are like, oh, Amy, where are you going racing this weekend? Like, it's just this whole process, meeting up with my buddies, packing the truck up full even more, like three bikes, and then driving out there. We don't really know where the heck we're going. We're trying to make the gate on time, get in before like they close the gate at night, and, you know, picking a cool spot, unloading, making friends. We run out of propane, like, you know, knocking on your neighbor's camper door to get propane tanks or the barbecue. Like, it's just whole weird process of racing and that racing life and the lifestyle behind it all, and just everything else, not even necessarily riding on the tracks and stuff, but obviously that's like a huge part, but it's the process that comes together that makes this life that I live just so crazy. It's like a drug and it's a high that I'm on all the time, and I love it. And, you know, I really needed that this weekend. They say, like, you know, go back to your roots. If you always feel like you're not yourself and you need to, you know, kind of have a reality check, go back to your roots. And I did that this weekend. I did it last weekend as well when I went racing. And I realized how much I need that in my life and how big two wheels will always be for me in grounding me and bringing me back and making me feel like my best self. And, you know, Jim, I think I resurrected the racing career once again. You know, I'm really investing a lot into this. I'm going to be going to Red Bud, Millville. I hit a couple of big nationals this year. I'm going to be racing. So, I'm having a lot of fun and I'm doing really good. So I just think, like, you know, when you're having a good time, you're actually performing at your best. So, you know, this might be a pretty rad summer now.
Well, you got to be careful though, because you like talking about going to nationals and everything. Like,
I know, but okay, I'm going to nationals, but I'm racing amateur day, if you will. Like, I'm not racing pro women's nationals. I'm done that scene. I'm racing like plus 25. I'm racing the plus 25 class and like women's class on amateur day, but I get to ride pro track, get to travel. We'll talk about it in the next segment here, but I've been actually going and traveling with my buddy who's chasing his pro card right now. So it's pretty cool because I get to race amateur day and he's my pit biatch, if you will. Like, you know, he's my pit guy. And then on pro day, you know, the tables turn and I get to, like, no pressure, have, you know, crack a beer and go to the line and like, you know, be the factory mechanic for him. So it's kind of cool because I get best of both worlds now. I get to go race, but I get to be a part of the pro scene, and there's no pressure. I mean, I still really enjoy racing the amateur day and like the privateer life and stuff, but I kind of get to switch gears a little bit and have some fun with it. And like, that's what it's all about. Like, I've always been that person that likes to, like, I just want to stay credible, Jim, okay? I just want to stay credible. I just want to go to the races, beat a couple fast people, do my thing, you know, lay some sick little butt whips down, and, you know, people are like, oh, cool, Amy's so fast. That's all it really takes for me. Like, you know, I want to go and, like, oh, I hit a new jump I didn't hit. Like, I did this section at the track this weekend. There's a double, triple section out of a corner, which I never thought I'd do. But I'm like, I did it. And I'm like, cool. That's all I really needed to do. You know, you got to kind of prove to yourself that you still got it. Sometimes you like to prove to others because people like to give you a hard time because of the internet. But yeah, you know, I'm just having fun with it. Like, this is the summer to have fun on my dirt bike, and I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, I think you're having fun. I know I've got some Razor runs lined up. I've got Vegas Torino the end of the summer, but between then and then I got a couple Razor runs lined up, doing TV with Lucas Oil for this new Midwest Short Course League. So lots of stuff for both of us this summer, man. It's going to be one hell of a summer.
Lots of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun, you know, driving and riding stuff this summer. I'm excited.
Me too. All right, we're going to take a short commercial break. We come back, we got Matt Brabham, Matty Brabs on the line, your Texas Stadium Super Trucks winner on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want the latest from Jim Beaver and Amy Hood? Follow at Jim Beaver 15 and at Amy Hood 71 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Joining me on the line right now is your Texas Stadium Super Trucks winner, Matty Brabs, a.k.a. Matt Brabham. So I know since you and I talked last, we were out at Long Beach, and you, me, and Amy were able to catch up, but you went and spent some time in Australia. And before we talk about Australia, I got to ask you, I know you posted up some pictures, and I did one of my accounts, but you got to tell me about this Brabham Auto, the BT62. You posted some pictures. Have you seen this thing in the flesh yet?
Yeah, I have actually. When I was back in Australia, I went out to a little shakedown they had of a new one they built, and had a look, and it was so awesome. I mean, it's just this, it's a track car at the end of the day, you know, it's all done by my uncle, David Brabham, and he's based in London, and he's been coming back and forward from the UK to Australia, and it's an Australian-built car, and it's kind of like a... yeah, like, I don't know what you compare it to, but there's like an Aston Martin Vulcan, I think, that they have around, and similar to that, where you just go to the track, have a bunch of guys come out, and you run it. But I mean, the thing is bloody quick. It's seriously fast.
Yeah, it was just one of those. Once in a while, you see a car, and it just kind of like, especially on social media, it's hard because people can dress up photos. But that one, I saw it, and I'm just like. Like, takes your breath away. I'm like, wow, like, that one will stop people in their tracks. So, he was just a good-looking car. They give you a chance to wheel that thing?
Not yet. They just did, like, a few laps, and that was it. And when I was there, but David, he's been in Australia testing it over the last, like, few weeks. So, I'll get to drive it probably when I go back. But it's so fun. I mean, it's, like, it's a lot quicker than a GT3 car already. So, it's, you know, it's bloody fast, and... it should be interesting to see how it all goes. And you know, obviously David has a long-term plan, and, you know, I hope to see it do well and obviously get into some racing and bring the Brabham manufacturer side of things, you know, back in the motorsport. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think it'd be rad. It's been, you know, it's been a long time coming, man. But I'm excited for that. Excited for you this year, though. I mean, we got to talk about the Stadium Super Truck Series, and you're the current points leader, but man, Texas, You went from, you know, they say sugar to, you know, like, I don't know, man. What happened in race one? I mean, you were Mr. Excitement in race one, and then you come back and win race number two. I mean, what the hell happened? Like, triple barrel roll down the front stretch or something?
Yeah, it was kind of like a hero to zero, that hero moment. You know, that was quickest in qualifying, started last, and got my way up into third spot with a couple laps to go. In the first race, and I don't know what happened, but I mean, like, I'm still confused a little bit exactly as how my hood came up, but my hood just came up. I couldn't see where I was going. So I was like, oh, you know, I need to try and go as fast as I can so that the hood will rip off and I can continue seeing and get some good points for the championship. And it wouldn't come off. Like, no matter what I did, it wouldn't come off. So I was like, I think I'm just going to have to hit a jump. And, you know, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to think about with when you can't see at all. And I was following Jeff Hoffman, and he has like this bright white truck. And I thought maybe I could follow him and then follow where he goes on the jump, and hopefully the wind catches it on the jump and rips it off. And I probably shouldn't have done that. And he hit the jump, like, I could only see out the left side of my truck, and he hit the jump right on the right side of the jump. So I'm looking at the left, so I'm slightly to his right, and I just hit the jump like two wheels on and two wheels off, and barrel rolled three times down the straight and got rid of the hood. But unfortunately, damaged the front suspension, so I couldn't keep going.
Well, it's funny because listening to this whole story, like, I got to go back to the start of it. You go, yeah, I couldn't see, so my first thought was drive faster and rip the hood off. I'm like, only race car drivers would think that way, right? Oh, I can't see. We better go faster and just rip the hood off. You know, it's like. Oh.
I think in hindsight, I probably should have, just tried to go back and get the guys to rip it off or something, and then got some points out of it. But you know, I was thinking, oh, championship, I gotta keep going, I gotta stay in the top four or top three. And then it all ended with some fun and flips down the straight, which wasn't ideal, but
well, you know, the thing that I find really interesting, makes for some crazy racing with stadium super trucks, the way they invert everything. So, like, you know, the fastest guys, which is you most cases, you know, you're one of the usually top two, three guys in qualifying and things like that, you get inverted all the way to the back. So it's almost like, in a way, like you've got to fight through everybody. I mean, it makes for some crazy racing, but it's so interesting. I mean, I can only imagine an IndyCar if they did something like that. Hey, let's shake it up, you know? Hey, you just qualified on the pole. We're going to start you back at 25th place or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously like the format is kind of designed to promote racing and side-by-side. And you know, obviously the guys that aren't always at the front, they get to go lead the first couple laps, which is, you know, good for their sponsors and stuff. And then it makes it so much fun because, like, I don't know if you ever like played a video game, and you, obviously if you qualify first, you're running a little bit quicker than everyone. And if you play a video game, you always start last and you're a little bit quicker than the field. Like, passing the cars is what is enjoyable. You know, obviously when we get to the last three laps, it comes more down to a kind of more traditional motor race where you're trying to stretch it out, you're trying to get the lead, and it comes down to like a final lap battle between, you know, the top kind of guys. Because by the end of the race, you know, all the top fastest guys manage to get through some way or another. But I mean, I think it's just awesome. It's been so good for me because I get to like keep learning passing and especially getting through the pack. And it's been so much fun doing it. I mean, it's just awesome motor racing.
Well, you know, and one thing I talked with Sheldon Creed out at Charlotte. I was there for the ARCA race, and we were talking about stadium super trucks, and we were talking about Robbie Gordon in particular. And I know Robbie's been really good to you, and but it was Sheldon goes, he goes, you know, when this thing started out, Robbie was winning everything. These are his trucks; he built them, and everybody's like, "Oh, this is rigged. Robbie's winning; it's his own series." Now, like, Robbie's struggling for podiums. And like Sheldon said, he's like, when I started winning, he's like, Robbie just literally, he's like, we're good friends. He's like, he quit telling me anything. He's like, but what I think is great about this is like guys like Sheldon, when he comes in, and you who have been in the series, like you guys have got, you know, you guys have got to the point where you're beating Robbie consistently and now you're faster and he's probably learning things from you guys. And these are the trucks he helped build and design.
Yeah. I know. I think if, you know, it's one of those things where, obviously, he's kind of the guru of it all, but, you know, it's just, I think Robbie's still quick. You know, I still don't underestimate him. I mean, he can come out any race weekend and have a good run and win, but it's just, oh, sorry, that's my dog.
Good.
But he's bloody good. I mean, he obviously coaches all the young guys that are coming in and the new guys, but for me, yeah, I mean, he's kind of stopped giving me tips, and you know, but he's such a good guy, and he looks after everyone, and we have good races and stuff. But yeah, for sure, I mean, I think as all the new guys come in, especially like off-road guys, I mean, I learned so much from those guys, like Sheldon Creed. You know, I learned so much from him because he has like a whole different persona and the way he goes about things coming from the off-road side. And I think all of those guys are learning from me because I come from the road course side, and you know, everyone's just getting better and better every weekend. And it's tough because Robbie's running everything, and I think he's you know, having to spend more time doing a lot of that stuff than trying to keep up with us. So we're starting to beat him a little bit more often.
Well, and, you know, let's talk about, you know, this year and then moving forward. Obviously, you know, you found a home in Stadium Super Trucks. You're doing super well there. You're current points leader and things like that. I know talking with you at Long Beach and then at Indy, you know, last year and things like that, I know you still got that itch for IndyCar. I mean, you know, are you pretty happy in, you know, in the near term, you know, with Stadium Super Trucks in the next year or two? Or, I mean, is there still, like, are you still fighting and trying to find that funding for an IndyCar or, you know, even a sports car ride or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always, my goal, you know, ultimate dream goal is to win the 500. And it's been like that for a while now. And I think, you know, I always keep working towards that. If I can get back in or find some sponsorship to do a few more IndyCar races, you know, I think that would just be so cool. And, you know, it's something that I'm always working towards. But, you know, in the near future, for sure, I mean, I'm loving it in Stadium Super Trucks. You know, I'm obviously making a living, and the sponsorship is quite good, and they have a good crowd, all their races, good, you know, social media following and all that. And, you know, to make a living motor racing is so tough these days. So, you know, I'm obviously still grateful, and I'm quite content and happy, and, you know, I'm doing the super trucks, you know, and that's getting me by. And then I'm also going to be doing the supercars in Australia this year. So, you know, I've only been home for like 4 or 5 weeks this whole entire year. And, but, you know, comparing that to when I was knocking on the door of IndyCar, not doing anything, you know, only a couple of years ago, it's pretty good. And, you know, Robbie's really looked after me well. And, yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm having fun. So I keep doing what I'm doing and obviously work towards IndyCar stuff and all my spare time and see what happens. But, no, I think Super Trucks is super healthy. And we're all having a good time, and yeah, it's been heaps of fun.
Yeah, well, and that being said, I mean, Super Trucks, I know what it costs to run a full season there, and it's so small compared to IndyCar. I mean, you know, Robbie's got a great package with great exposure, and obviously, you know, it's not, you know, primetime NBC live, you know, coverage, but it's still a really good TV package. I mean, do you find it's a little bit easier to go, hey, look, I'm going to run Stadium Super Trucks, this is the dollar amount, you get all of this for this very small amount, or, hey, I need IndyCar budget, you know, better go take out a loan so you can fund me going racing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a lot easier to find a budget for super trucks right now, you know, than IndyCar. I mean, I'll keep trying. It's obviously super expensive, a lot more expensive to run IndyCar. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the battle that all of us struggle as race car drivers, you know, just trying to find the funding and the opportunities. And, you know, the ones that, you know, are good at the business side but aren't necessarily the best racing drivers are usually the ones that make it through. And the good drivers like you and myself there, you have to trying to, like, figure out and learn the whole business side and keep learning as much as we can and try and make it work.
For sure. So what's next for you? I know SST's got a little bit of a break. It's back to supercars now.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll go back to Australia at the end of next month and then do a test day, get ready. And we got a couple little ride days here and there and just some time in the car. My first race in the supercar is in September. So I'll come back and do Wisconsin before then at Road America with the super trucks and then back over. So yeah, I'm going to be back and forth quite a lot.
Yeah. Lots of freaking flyer miles.
Yeah.
All right, Matty. Well, I appreciate the time calling in, man. Congrats on both the win in Texas and the points lead, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you out at one of these events pretty soon.
Yeah, thanks, man. Cheers.
Thanks a lot. And we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Since 1970, Casey Highlights has been designing and manufacturing performance lighting for off-road and motorsports. Beginning with the legendary Daylighter up until today's revolutionary Flex, Pod, and Pro 6 lighting systems, Casey Highlights offers a full line of halogen, HID, and LED lighting solutions for your off-road vehicle. Looking for the best quality lighting? Looking for the brand champions choose? You're looking for KC Highlights. Find out more information at kchighlights.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at KC Highlights.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268 horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305 horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I'd like to welcome my next guest to the line, my good friend, Vision Wheels teammate Keegan Kincaid. How's everything going, Keegan?
Good, Jim. How have you been?
Oh, good, man. It's like I said in the intro to the show today, I'm headed to Cranon this weekend, and I don't know if life can get much better than heading to Cranon, I guess, any time during the summer, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, we've been trying to, I think, get you out here for a long time, since I first started on the show, I think. We've been trying to get you out here, and it's finally going to happen for you, so I'm glad to bring you to my hometown and see what we have to offer here. So it's going to be a great weekend. The weather should be good, and track and fans are going to be ready for a new Midwest Short Course League, and going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited. It was one of those, I went back there, last year, Marty from Cranon invited me back to do some radio interviews and stuff like that for the big weekend, and I was like, dude, I fell in love with the place. Absolutely fell in love with it, and I think it was immediately after I got home, I started going on and looking at like rentals and stuff like that. And I rented a house on the lake for this next coming Labor Day weekend. And I was like, my dad, he raced Riverside and all the short course races out here out west, in between racing Class A. But Cranon was the one he never got to go to, and he always wanted to. And so I told him, I rented a house. I'm like, Dad, you're coming back with me to Cranon over Labor Day. So we had that all planned. And then I got the call from Lucas when the whole merger happened, and they wanted me to help with TV. And I'm like, well, this is even better. I get to go to all the Cranons, and you're paying me to go.
That's one thing that comes hard around here. A town of 2,000 people turns to a town of 50,000, and they run out of spots to stay. So it's going to be a fun-filled weekend, and I look forward to it.
Yeah, well, and here's a question, man. I mean, I know this off season has been, it's been a wild one for everybody in short course, especially you guys from the Midwest Series. I mean, how are things? I mean, Lucas came in, you know, they're helping out, they're doing the TV. It's kind of a rebranded series. I know this year is kind of one of those years. It's kind of like, I think 2019 is the year we're really going to see how everything kind of works out. But there's at least solid TV this year, and you know what I mean? And you know, obviously looking at Cranon, I think there's like 225 entries I just saw on the entry list. Like, I mean, but how's things for you? I mean, you've got a pro team, you're a pro two, you're one of the, you know, one of the premier teams, you know, racing in the Midwest. I mean, how's things for you, and how's this off season been?
Yeah, you know, this off season has been really interesting with the change in series, and we look forward to it. I think things are looking good on the horizon, and Vision Wheel has been behind me and has been pushing me in whatever direction I chose. They've been really good on that side, and it's just been a good off season on that side of it. Cooper Tires stepped up and helped me out on the Pro 2, and they really wanted me to go to Pro 2. Running the DOT has been one of their pushes through the series, and it's going to be exciting. You know, I've won the Cup races in 2016 in the Pro 2. I'm excited to get back into it, and Chad Horde stepping down and coming to race Pro 2 again. We'll have Mikey Vannon, who's Daily Pinnacle, has been in our shop working on their truck. I mean, it's going to be a fun, action-packed weekend, and I'm excited. You know, we're building a brand new truck. We have zero test time on it right now. It's kind of in the trend for myself, but not something we like to do, but we look forward to it, and I'm excited to actually get back on the track and get back into the racing thing. So,
yeah, well, and that being said, I mean, a brand new truck, you know, heading to Cranon. Obviously, you know that track. You and your dad know that track just better than anybody. I mean, you've got so much time there between the two of you. But, I mean, how do you approach this weekend in a new truck? I mean, I know there's practices and things like that beforehand. I mean, that's one of those you need to use, what, every minute, every second of those sessions you get a chance to?
Yeah, every second you're on the track is valuable time, and you just got to take it as it is, and hopefully we have a close setup. I mean, we ran Pro 2 before, and we've been there, and Bill Stein came on us with this year, so we have a new shop set up, and we're excited to get out on the track and try them and put them to use, and Traxxas again stepped up and helped out again, and put some product for my we'll be selling Traxxas cars at the track. I mean, we're on the way up, and just like the series, I think things are going to look good, and we're just sticking around, and like you said, I think 2019 is when we're really going to see it and see a change. So we look forward to this year and learning and working together, and not just as drivers and as series, and look to see where things go. So
yeah, well, and you know, and I know the Midwest Series, you know, in recent years, it's been picking up a lot of steam. I mean, obviously, you've got, you know, the two events at Cranon that keep growing and growing and growing. And you know, Bark River has been Bark River for years. I mean, the new facility at ERX is beautiful. I mean, you know, how's it racing there? I mean, that's one, you know, I know you guys have been, you know, concentrated on the Midwest Series. I mean, how's that when they throw a new track like that in, you know, and especially when you know a guy like Carlson's got, you know, probably a little bit of he's kind of got a leg up over there, kind of like you do at Cranon. Yeah. I mean, you know, how is that? How do you approach that as a driver? And obviously, this isn't the first year for ERX. It's been around for a year or two now. But, you know, how do you approach a track like that and gathering that data and learning, you know, an all-new track?
Yeah, you know, ERX is not like any other track in the Midwest, and I really enjoy that. It brings something different to the aspect of Midwest racing. And we got the Bug Rivers, and we got the Cranes, the high-speed tracks, and ERX becomes a technical. It's got a lot of sand and a lot of, you know, different clay and a lot of elevation changes, and it brings a lot of different things that we don't see here, and it's exciting. And Carlson has a lot of time on this track, and it's going to be a tough one. You know, that's my old winning truck, so I know what that truck is capable of, and we've seen Carlson go out and win it last year. He's going to be one of those that compete, and it's just something that you got to learn to adapt. Also, racing is not a lot of test time. You just don't get to take it out every single day and go and tune on it and make it right and make yourself right. It's learning to adapt fast and getting that little bit of edge, and that's what everybody's looking for. And it's going to be some interesting racing this year, and it's going to be fun, and look forward to banging doors with those guys.
Well, and, you know, let's talk about the move, you know, full-time to Pro 2. Obviously, you know, Pro 2 is not something completely, you know, brand new to you or anything like that. But, you know, talk about that because it is a little bit different, especially, you know, the Midwest Pro 2 package. I actually really like the Midwest Pro 2 package. I think it keeps things, you know, cost, you know, in line where they don't just get astronomical, especially with the, you know, engine prices and things like that. But, you know, looking at that and then looking at, like, the Cup races, you know, to come and things like that. I mean, how do you approach things with a Pro 2 this year?
Yeah, you know, it's just goes back to this Pro 2 is totally different. They have a spec engine package now that is run in this Midwest series, and it showed last year that they're reliable, the DOTs hold up, and it's just become way more affordable to run, and that was one of my major things to go back down and run a spec class and where it doesn't become a whole lot of money being involved into it, and it can show a lot of driver skill and get developed, you know, things off of the chassis and do new things. And that's what my dad wanted to do. He started building this chassis in the fall with no intent of me racing it this spring. And one thing led to another. Sponsors pushed me one way, and it worked out. And I'm excited to actually be going down. And the competition is going to be fierce in that class, and I look forward to it. It's going to be an interesting year, and it's going to go by fast, but we look forward to the years to come and doing some battles with more and more people, I think, stepping up into this class. So,
yeah. Well, and, you know, talking about the Cup races, you've been, you know, you've run a Cup race in a Pro 2. You've run it in a Pro 4. I mean, there's give and take to both. I mean, is it a little bit of nerve-wracking being in a Pro 2 in that Cup race and knowing – hey man, I got a bunch of these Pro Fours hunting me down, or is it better to be the Pro Four guy and be the hunter? I mean, you tell me. You've done it both ways, buddy.
Yeah, it's definitely better to be the hunter than the hunted. So the Pro Two is really intense, you know, throughout that race. You get your gap, and it just keeps shortening and shortening throughout the event, and it just really hard to deal with. Where the Pro Four, you're just in kill mode and hunting these guys down and picking them off one right after another. And I like both aspects, you know, and I've done it in both. And but the Pro 4 is definitely the easier side of it, you know, and they always have an advantage one up. And so when you can go and win it in a Pro 2, it means more. And that's what I look forward to trying to do again this year. And for years to come, you know, that's one of my highlights, I think, in my career is winning it in a Pro 2. And to repeat it would be something amazing. You know, I'd like to win it in the Pro 4, and hopefully one day we'll be able to. But this year we're looking at the Pro 2 and repeating in that. So we look forward to it and ready to race. So.
Yeah, and that's probably one of those, especially in a Pro 2, you need to get the whole shot, right? You need to put all those other Pro 2s between you and the Pro 4s, and that way you've got clean air at least for a while. You know, and you're able to, you know, try and stretch out that lead, right? I mean, it's, you know, the start's got to be so crucial in a Cup race for the Pro 2 guys.
Yeah, and Crannon, and especially with the Land Rush start, one of the most, you know, crucial parts of Crannon is getting that hole shot, and Cup race is even more important. And that's one thing I look, you know, you have to be fully concentrated on that line and look to get that hole shot and just run away and hide. And hopefully the Pro 4s, Pro 2s get to battle and tangle with each other, and it just works in your favor. I mean, it's not a lot of skill. It takes a lot of luck. And hopefully they get a lot of battling, and you end up in the right spot. So that's why they race it. And the start is just something to see. If you had never seen the Crannon start and the Land Rush, it's one of the most adrenaline rushes you'll ever get. So I look forward to doing it again this year and finally getting back in the car.
Yeah. Well, and what's the calendar look like for you this year? I know we've got the four Midwest events, the two at Crannon, the one at Bark River, the one at ERX. Past that, I mean, are you going to try and make it out west? I guess with the engine package, it makes it kind of tough to bring a Pro 2 out west. But, I mean, what's the plans for you?
Yeah, so our plan is to do these four Midwest for sure. And then we're looking at going out to the last Lucas event in Chandler, Arizona. But we want to put our bigger engine package back in that we ran in our other Pro 2. So it'll take a little bit of time to convert it. We made this truck really similar, so we can flop engines back and forth. And we would like to race Wheatland with the engine package. And
just that short time frame, it just kind of hurt us a little bit. So we're really focusing on trying to get out to that last race in Chandler, Arizona, and just seeing what we can do with some of these guys from Lucas in the West Series and just compete with those guys and just show them what we've got. So look forward to it and see what happens with these four events and prepare from that. So.
Yeah. So, you know, what can fans expect this weekend? I saw 225 entries so far. I mean, you know, everybody wants to call Fall Crandon the Big Crandon. I call both Crandons a Big Crandon, man. It's I don't know that there isn't a packed house at either one. I mean, the entry list is solid. I mean, you're from Crandon. Give us a pitch. What can people expect this weekend?
Yeah, you know, Crandon is definitely something to see. And this weekend you'll see 20 to 30,000 fans. Just waiting, you know, around turn one. And the entry list is going to be even bigger than it's ever had in the spring run and this brush run. And the Cliff and the guys from Crandon have done an amazing job prepping this track and adding clay. And the facility just continues to improve. They added more campgrounds again this year, and they continue to sell out. And it's just something to see. And this is a lead up to the fall, is like I like to say. It's a good brush run, pre-run for the big fall Crandon. And it's fun because this is my hometown track, my hometown fans, my hometown family, and it's good to be able to go home and sleep in your own bed and just look forward to putting on a great show. Racers are coming from all, I think, like you said, we have 225 entries, plus I think people will end up showing up and entering at the race, and it's just going to be an overall great weekend. And if you're in the area, stay on and check it out. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate the time, Keegan. I know you got it's race week, man. You probably got some
prep
to do yet and things like that. But thanks for calling into the show, and we will see you Friday, my friend.
Thanks, Jim. Yep, we're busy here trying to prep this truck and finish it up. So it's crunch time. That's when we work best, is under pressure. So we look forward to seeing you this weekend and being on, hopefully, on the top of that box. So
all right.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Keegan. Take it easy, my friend.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Man, slam-packed hour number one. Matty Brabs, SST winner, Keegan Kincaid, rolling into Crandon this weekend. Thank you guys for tuning in to hour number one. Hour number two coming up. We've got some Q&As with some fans talking some pro motocross. We've got Steve Torrance, your NHRA winner. He's coming up in hour number two as well. Be sure and tune in to me on Lucas Oil TV this weekend. I will be one of your color commentator along with Tess Sewell and Rob Klepper there at Crandon at the big event there at, you know, at Crandon, the birthplace of Short Course Off-Road. Want to mention, I got a big interview coming up on Project Action this week. Brittany Palmer from the UFC ring girl, Brittany Palmer. She is my guest on Project Action. We talked for a good hour the other day. She's an artist, UFC ring girl. It's an amazing interview. You're going to want to catch that on Project Action on Podcast One or at Down and Dirty Radio or downanddirtyshow.com. But make sure and rate, review, and subscribe. Subscribe on iTunes to get that podcast as well as the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Lots of good content coming out. Not necessarily just all national radio show stuff. We drop a ton of audio content to those feeds. So make sure and check those out. And make sure and check out our website, downanddirtyshow.com. We've got my good friend Chris Leone. You remember him from Global Rallycross. He's pumping out a ton of written content. All things motorsport, he's pumping it out on the website. You guys can definitely check that out at downanddirtyshow.com. Let us know what you think on social media. It's at JimBeaver15. You know, it's always good to hear from you fans and, you know, what you like, what you don't like, and what you want to see more of. So we're going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, hour number two coming at you with Steve Torrance, motocross, and Q&As, all that and more on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris RZR brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris RZR because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team RZR because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris RZR because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRZR.com or follow at Polaris RZR on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RZRLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR, kicking off hour number two. And hour number two means a Dirt Fish Rally Report coming at you from our good friends at Dirt Fish Rally School. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com. And if you're looking to go to Dirtfish, make sure and use that coupon code JBDirtfish for 15% off all class purchases at Dirtfish Rally School. And don't forget, coming up July 7th, it is Summerfest at Dirtfish. I will be there. My good friend Jolene Van Vuit will be there. And it's going to be a ton of fun. They've got ride-alongs. They've got car displays. They got food, vendors, helicopter rides, lots of fun for the kids. Make sure and bring out the whole family. That is July 7th. You can find out more information on Dirtfish's social media or on their website. But it's going to be a ton of fun. Can't wait to go up there to Seattle and take on the Summerfest. And big news coming out of Dirtfish and ARX, the new American Rallycross Series. Dirtfish going to be the title sponsor of a new event at Circuit of the Americas, and also they're being tied in with them at a level, I guess, for the entire season. But Dirtfish Rally School going to be the new title sponsor of an event at Circuit of the Americas. Now we knew that there was going to be the event at COTA tying in with World Rallycross, that happening the end of September, beginning of October, that weekend that kind of crossover between the two, same weekend as the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo. And then we also know, obviously there's the event at Troy Rivers in Quebec, Canada. We've already had the round over there in England at Silverstone, but they've got that new the new round that's TBD Circuit of the Americas, mid-July, the weekend after Dirtfish Summerfest. If you're a rallycross fan, boom, COTA, be there. Dirtfish title sponsor of that. I'm assuming my Dirtfish teammate James Rimmer, he's going to be in action banging doors. Looking forward to it. It's going to be the first, ARX round on American soil, and very, very much looking forward to it. I don't know if I'll be at that one or if I'll be at the one, the end of September, but I'm going to be at one of the two rounds there at Circuit of the Americas, and very much looking forward to that. It's going to be a good time, and, how can you – Circuit of the Americas, beautiful facility. You've got Rallycross. How can you ask for much more, right? Going to be a good time. Anyways, that was your Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. And we will be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our RZR vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, a 268-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine, rockets the WRX around corners and down straightaways. A race-ready 305-horsepower turbocharged Subaru boxer engine keeps the WRX STI a rally legend. The Subaru WRX and WRX STI, it's not a sibling rivalry, it's a tag team. Get the latest from Subaru Rally Team USA at Subaru.com/rally.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Amy Hood here, kicking off hour number two, and we're going to talk a little pro moto. That's one thing, we've been so damn busy, Amy Hood, that you and I'm trying to think back. I don't think we've even talked remotely on pro motocross yet this year. That's kind of a fail, mostly on my part, but I guess both of us can take a little blame here. But there's been a lot going on in pro moto.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, the season kind of came out with a bang. But what I'm excited for, and I always get all hopped up, is obviously like the European GPs. And this weekend, we kicked off the first MXGP in France. And, I mean, man, I'm kind of surprised on the lineup. Jeffrey Herling's going 1-1 over Tony Caroli. And, like, that sets the bar. I mean, Tony Caroli has always been the guy to beat. He's been so dominant over everybody. And everybody's been waiting for Herling's to move up to 450s. You know, he's always kind of plagued with some injuries here and there. He's kind of almost like, I'd like to say a mixture between a Dean Wilson and an Adam Cintrello. Like, you know, he's kind of this wild card fan. Either you love him or you hate him. And, you know, and Caroli is kind of like this poster child for the year, like, you know, the European series, kind of like our Ken Roczen on the box of Wheaties. So, you know, to have Antonio Caroli overthrown by Jeffrey Herling is a huge, huge, huge deal in MXGPs. And I mean, no doubt in my mind, like, Herlings is extremely talented, amazing, amazing rider, but he just kind of comes with a lot of baggage and controversy. And it just, I remember back, Jim, like 2 years ago, and he had like, I don't know, like 350,000 followers on Instagram, and he follows one person. You know who that person is?
You?
No. Justin Bieber. Like, the guy is like, he loves, like, you know, he's controversial. He's just a little bit of like a bad boy, rough around the edges. You know, a really great rider, but it's really going to kind of shape the way the European series looks up. And I'm excited. It's going to be an awesome, awesome year. You know, if there's a lot of pressure on Caroli, it just makes for some great racing. And, you know, hopefully both of them stay healthy, because I think we're going to see some awesome battles all summer long. I can't wait.
Well, and here, we'll talk about Lucas Oil Pro Moto here in a second, but Here's a question on an MXGP, because you're well read on this and I'm not. I mean, I follow it loosely. Why is it like American riders, people that race pro moto, they race supercross, we've had some uber talented guys. Why, how come the guys from the States don't go over there and compete more often? I mean, like when Villopoto decided to do it a couple years ago, like that was massive, you know, like global news, like, holy crap, Villopoto's coming over here. And then if I remember right, he won one round, but he struggled a bit. Is it that much harder?
Yeah.
Are the tracks that much different? I mean, why don't we see more of our blue chippers go over there, you know?
I mean, it's definitely a completely different track layout. So we'll talk about that in a second. But it's same thing, you know, vice versa. Why don't we see more Europeans come over here? I mean, we do. We've got the Kennys and the Marvins, but everyone's like, why isn't Antonio Caroli coming over here? Blah, blah, blah. And Hurlings. Well, A, they're making so much goddamn money over in Europe, and they're like gods there. Like, why would they come over here? But a big, big thing is the tracks. I believe they also run 40-minute motos plus two laps. So, boom, there you go. You already got, you know, the endurance side of it. But the tracks in European series, they're called natural terrain, quote-unquote natural terrain. So, actually, when they had the GP over in South Carolina, you know, there was a big petition, or not petition, but, you know, a lot of talk to get rid of one of these, like, uphill triples, because they don't have obstacles like that over in the GP series. You have more of this, like, natural terrain rolling up and downhill, ruts that are, like, this up to the shrouds. I mean, just the styles of the tracks are very different, a lot more aggressive, and I know the races are a lot longer. It makes her a lot more of a grueling, you know, outdoor series for sure. I just think the pedigree of those European riders are almost on a different level. But, you know, hit and miss, because when they come over here, they have a hard time keeping up with our guys. I say it as if I'm American, but, you know, they don't have the types of big obstacles and like technical sections like they do in America. They actually X-made those out in the GP series. So it's they make it so that it's this quote-unquote natural terrain style. But again, they just have a different way of riding. Even when you go over there, the riding style is a lot different. You know, I never see them sitting down. I saw Tony Caroli hit like a 180 rutted corner completely standing up. Like, it was just an obstacle. Like, it's something I've never seen before ever in the U.S. Like, their riding style is night and day different. But, you know, it's kind of where you fit. Like, you get great supercross riders and people who suck at outdoors and vice versa. I think you will have great European riders who are used to the European tracks and the European style of racing compared to, you know, America. But also, they ride a lot of the edges of the tracks. It's this high speed, like almost highway style of racing where, like, it's just, I don't know, it's something really, really different. How they build the tracks are different. You know, the soil and the terrain is going to be really different. It's just, you know, you're crossing the pond. It's going to be a different kind of, a whole different ball game. But, you know, Tony Caroli gets paid, like, friggin' millions of dollars to, you know, be this legend and this god of the European racing world. He ain't never going to come over and race in America. Like, why would he? He's doing so good over there. He's just going to stay there. So, you know, I just, it'd be cool if they had a little bit more, you know, crossover. And they do. I love that they have a GP over in Europe. I love that they're doing that. They're, you know, they're blending the fields and you get to really see the Europeans versus the Americans line up and where they fit. But, yeah, I just think, you know, this year it's, I think Jeffrey Hurlings is going to be the king and the god of the moto world. And I'm really excited to see, like, when he comes over here and how he fares up to our guys. But, you know, him and Caroli have been really, really, really dominant over pretty much the entire field forever. You know, Villopoto and Dungey have really been the only guys to kind of ever challenge them.
Yeah. Well, we got to switch gears. We got a couple of minutes left in this segment. We got to talk outdoors here in the States.
Yeah.
Big news, Zach.
So crazy. Yes.
Zach O is out for the year. Oh.
Yes. It's so sad because, you know, no, Jeremy right now, Jeremy Martin's running that red plate. I mean, kudos to the guy, but I mean, you never want to see someone walk away with the championship because of that, you know, like I wanted to see heated battles. You know, if Zach was still in, you know, Jeremy would be having to fight 10 times harder. I'm just really hoping that Justin Cooper pokes his nose in there. Like, we were talking about this on the road trip home. Man, the kid is so young. He's so talented, and he is just making his freaking name for himself. Like, I love watching this guy ride. We got to have him on the show. I just want to pick his brain. I just want to see, like, how he is mentally, like, his maturity level. Because the kid's young, and he's slaying it. And I think if anybody, by the end of the series, I think that, you know, it's going to be Justin Cooper that challenges Jeremy Martin, and I'm freaking ready and willing to watch it happen because it's going to be so cool.
He's the new Faulkner, right? He's the new kid that slid in there and just
Yeah.
So here's a question, 250s. We only got like a minute and a half left. But, you know, it sucks that Zacho's gone, but just judging by the way things look, I think we're going to have a Martin battle. Alex and Jeremy, like, I think we're going to see brothers do battle this year.
Oh, Jim. Yes, I didn't even think about that for a second there, but I've been watching results, and I kind of blew my mind until you told me that. But, yeah, this is, like, the first time in history. I think there's maybe one other year where, I mean, it was one race. But, you know, knowing the Martin boys since they were kids and growing up with them, I mean, it's always, always, always been Alex dominant over Jeremy. And then, boom, the table switch. Jeremy, you know, winning back-to-back outdoor championships. This is going to be an amazing year if both brothers can be fighting each other for the championship because they know each other's riding styles. They know their weak points and they know their strengths. So I think we're going to see such an amazing dynamic of racing, like just probably on the aggression level that we've something you've never seen before. And I don't think we've ever had brothers in history battling for an outdoor 250 championship in history. So, man, let's keep this ball rolling. I love to see the Martin battle.
All right, 30 seconds left. It looks like moving to 450s. Tomac's kind of running away with things right now. But Ken Roczen, I feel like he's finally starting to get his mojo back.
Yeah, but I think I just heard something. I got to look it up right now. But didn't we hear that Tomac is injured and something happened with him? Let's look into it, and I'll be able to kind of recap with you guys in the next segment here. But I'm pretty sure Tomac...
All right.
Something happened.
We'll circle back to that after this break here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
And we are back here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We're going to take some fan Q&As. We've had a lot of them built up. I got four questions because I could say we got like eight questions, which we could. But Amy and I always go long on these things. So I'm like, let's keep it at four so we can actually really talk. We're talking pro moto in the last segment. We are going to have to do our homework this week. And we're going to come back next week and we're going to talk even more pro moto. And we're going to answer those questions that Amy and I raised and couldn't actually competently answer on air.
Both of us are going to figure it out in a short period of time. Yeah. So whatever.
3 minutes wasn't enough.
We'll recap with who's in and who's out next week.
All right. So rolling into fan Q&As, because we always need the entire segment to do these. So we got four questions. First one coming at you. And if you guys ever want to send us questions, contact form on the website at downanddirtyshow.com. It's at JimBeaver15 on social or at AmyHood71. DMs, you can use the Facebook group. Whatever, man. We get them a million different ways, and we'll try and cycle them in if they're good questions. Anyways, this one is from Darren in Speedway, Indiana. Speedway, Indiana is basically the home of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, for those of you that don't know. Anyways, Indy Bump Day. Thoughts going forward? Hinch is one of my favorite drivers. He didn't make the bump. What are your thoughts? Should Indy change that? And I'm come on. I don't know. I love Hinch. Hinch is actually he's one of a great friend of the show. We've had him on numerous times. One of my favorite drivers, great personality, fan favorite, absolutely. But Bump Day goes back 100 years. Like, you don't change it because, you know, the guy, and he'll tell you, like, we failed, we got bumped. And the guys there at Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport, they are phenomenal. Wiccans, everybody in the organization, they've embraced the show. They follow us on social media. They repost our stuff. And they'll be the ones to tell you, too, like, hey, look, this is Indianapolis 500. Bump Day is what it is. If you're not fast enough to make the cut, you just get bumped out. Now, granted, Hinch, he got – and you can go back and listen to this show. He got a raw deal IndyCar didn't approach that right. The session was cut 10 minutes short because of a TV window. There was rain delays. Like, I don't think Hinch got a fair shake, but at the end of the day, I do think that bumping should be there. I mean, we can go back. Ryan Hunter-Reay 1 year didn't make it. There was Penske's that didn't make it before. Like, it's tradition. If you're not fast enough, you make the cut. I'm sorry. It's like pro moto, you know? It's like, it doesn't matter if you're Ryan Dungey.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're too slow and you can't qualify to the main,
you get from you people you think get an automatic token in, but I mean, you like that. That's racing.
That's it. That's racing. And that's what's great about bump day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you know? It's one of the few motorsports that doesn't protect its main drivers in their biggest event, and I think that's what's great. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl, right? In the Super Bowl, if the best team sucks in the NFC Finals or the AFC Finals, they don't make the Super Bowl. They don't go, oh, well, you have the best record, so we're just going to put you in the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know. I'd say we keep bump day the way it is. I do think that in the case of Hinch, he got a raw deal because the TV window, like, I don't care about TV time. I'd rather see a guy get an extra 10 minutes to try and qualify in. So those are my thoughts on bump day. I say keep it. And sounds like Amy says keep it too. And, yeah.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Moving on, this one is going to, Amy's going to have to carry me on this one. I can talk to the race car side of things. This is David in England. I love it, but you'll.
What's David in England?
So this is kind of a fitness question. Okay. He says.
Ooh, I'll definitely carry us all.
So he says, I know Formula One drivers have crazy, insane fitness, and I've heard IndyCar drivers do as well. He's like, how does that compare to Supercross and MotoGP fitness?
Oh, my God, really? Okay.
I can speak to the auto side.
Let me lay it down for you first. First and foremost, Moto, pro outdoor Moto and Supercross is some of the most physically demanding sports in the world. Okay, like, I'm very, very biased against people who drive a car. I understand the fitness. I get it on the, you know, I talk to Camden Murphy. I give him a lot of hard time at Monster Jam. But he, you know, assures me and kind of showed me the ropes a little bit more about what goes on, you know, behind a wheel and inside a cockpit of a, you know, a NASCAR ride. But still, you ain't whipping around a 200-pound piece of metal jumping 75 feet, if not, like, you know, 130 feet in the air with 40 other guys behind you, you know, operating at your maximum heart rate capacity for 30 minutes plus two laps. I mean, there's nothing like it out there. Triathletes, yeah, maybe. You know, people who do those American Ninja Warrior things, like, whatever. But, you know, they say a lot of times they compare it to a triathlete who are operating at that high heart rate level. But outdoor motocross is hands down one of the gruelingest and most intense physically demanding sports. And look at the level of these athletes and look at the training that they go through and look at the elite guys. They all, you know, kind of in that period, Jim, you can notice it. You really can tell when they go from 250 to 450 how, like, Ken Roczen, Jason Anderson, Eli Tomac, a lot of these guys, and especially Adam Cinturello, these younger guys, you know, when they jumped on the bigger bikes and they started being competitive, like, their body dynamics changed, like, how much they leaned out, you know, they post so much about their fitness regime. But, you know, this is why Red Bull offers this, they have, like, training labs for their top-level athletes. Obviously, Red Bull is
beating
the game for... What's that?
I've been to the one in California. The Red Bull training lab thing is freaking insane.
Yeah. Like, they hook your whole thing up, your whole, you know, you're hooked up to everything, and they train you from your cardiovascular strength to your muscle endurance. You know, and it's, you're really operating, and you train within this heart rate level that operates as if you're going through a race. So you're training like you're racing, and they're trying to get your vitals and your signs and you know, everything internal operating like you will when you're racing. Because if you can train your body to operate at your peak training performance, you'll be able to do it on track. And technically, they say you're supposed to train harder than you will race. So it makes racing easy and training harder. So, I mean, I love it. Like, that's what's so gnarly about it. That's why not everybody can do this sport at an elite level, because of the training that goes behind it. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, well... And the thing is, David, okay, so fitness for F1 and IndyCar, if you look at any motorsport in the world, I'm talking four-wheel motorsport, those are absolutely the most extreme. NASCAR is not even in the same atmosphere as these. But the reason why, it's not necessarily muscular strength. Your cardio, especially to do the Indy 500, it was 90-something degrees. I think on the track it was 130 degrees, and those guys were in the car for 4 hours. So your cardio has to be on point.
Yeah.
So those guys having insane cardio. But for Formula One and IndyCar, the G-forces to go 230 miles an hour around corners, it's constantly it's like having, you know, it's just having somebody push you into a wall for 4 hours straight. So their neck muscles and things like that to keep their head straight, they work on different parts of the body that say other athletes don't, but like their neck muscles are insane.
Yeah, I believe it.
And their shoulders and things like that. So it's a different type of fitness. Don't get me wrong, IndyCar and Formula One drivers, they got to be in shape, really good shape, but it's a different fitness from, say, Supercross. And I don't even know about MotoGP. I'm assuming they train similar to Supercross, but I don't know. It might be a hybrid because the G-forces that MotoGP have are probably similar to Formula One. I don't know. What do you think, Amy?
At the same time, it's not the type of endurance, obviously, as outdoor pro motocross. But you look at these athletes. Like, I follow,
Valentino,
the top guys, too. And, like, watching them and even Jorge Lorenzo, I love watching his training videos. He's always in the gym if he's not on the road. Like, these guys, and they say, too, you know, your body can withstand anything. It's the mind you have to train. You know, fitness is a huge component in mentally preparing yourself as well. Yes, you're training your body, but you're also training your mind. When you put in the work, your confidence level just freaking skyrockets, right? Like, you put in the work, it's like a full package deal. It becomes a lifestyle, and it's just, I can't even explain it. It's just, I don't think there's any type of training other than triathletes that train on, you know, the level of, two-wheel motorsports. Jim, I'm super biased before, but I get it. But your motocross is just so, so cool. So it's so amazing.
All right. So two questions left. You have 30 seconds to answer this one. Literally 30 seconds because we don't have a lot of time. This one's pretty easy. This is Kathy in Virginia. She's a Monster Jam fan. She just wants to know when you're back in the monster truck and what your schedule looks like for this fall. Are they going to be able on the East Coast to see you? I can't answer
that. I will actually have 9 more shows in the U.S. My schedule is dropping pretty soon. But I'm going to be touring. I start again on October 2nd. I'm going to be going everywhere from South Dakota to Illinois, back to Rosemont, for I think 4 shows in Chicago. But then I am hopping on a plane and I am going over to Brazil, Chile, and Argentina. So I'm so excited to get my first international tour experience. And it's going to be wild.
All right, last question. This one I can take. This is Mike in Michigan. Thoughts on the Lucas Short Course merger? Is it going to be good for the sport? What do you think the schedule look like next year? Thoughts on it? It's amazing. Finally, we're unified. It needed to happen. I said it so many times. I'll say it again. Don't judge 2018. This is a year that they're rebuilding. Start in 2019, really looking at things. It's going to be amazing for the sport. Schedule next year, that one's a tough one. I think you're still going to see the same 4 event weekends in the Midwest. I think they're going to be merged somehow with the West Coast Series, maybe have one big championship. That's me guessing. I really don't know, but I'm definitely looking forward to things to come from short course in general. This is a good thing for short course, and I'm very excited about the future. And we will be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want the latest from Jim Beaver and Amy Hood? Follow at Jim Beaver 15 and at Amy Hood 71 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my brother, Mr. Steve Torrance, to the line. How is everything going, Steve?
Beaver, everything is going bad to the bone, man. We got down and dirty, hot and sweaty, all of the above at the Virginia Nationals up there in Richmond, man.
I got to tell you, you've had a pretty... you're kind of carrying things for chocolate and cream right now. It's a lot of cream, and I'm not seeing much chocolate in Top Fuel.
I know it. I told him, I said, man, it's hot chocolate and warm cream this weekend. I don't know, man. AB's been struggling. They ain't had the best car, this year. They just had some crew issues about them, some bad luck about them, all of the above. But, I mean, I'm not gonna hang up on that because my old race car has been running pretty dadgum good. I've been driving okay. And them guys have pulled me out of the fire when I needed it. But, you know, 4 wins in 9 races, I ain't complaining about nothing.
No, and it's funny because this has become like the Top Fuel show, it seems like. Like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I had Leon, had Clay last week, got you this week. I think we're just going to have to book off like a segment, just make it like the Top Fuel hour or something. But talking with Clay, he's had a hell of a year too, but he goes, man, he goes, I got nothing for them Capco boys. He goes, he's like, you know, Steve's always fast, but he goes, we're doing everything we can to even get close this year. You know, I mean, you guys at Capco are just, you guys are firing, man.
Man, I don't know. We've been more consistent than those guys, but we ain't been as fast. You know, he goes out there and sets a national record and just rotates the earth every time the track gets good. We've been able to capitalize on consistency. And you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's going to be. But it is pretty dadgum gratifying to look up there and number one and two in the points. Our independent teams, you know, with us and Clay going out there and dominating those multi-car teams, I'm pretty proud to say that we're kicking their butt on the reg.
You know, and that's what's funny because he mentioned that too. And that's one thing. I've been around your operation. You guys had me out there at Vegas, and I got to tell you, it's very much. I've been around corporate teams, and not to say that's a bad thing, but you guys are very much a family feel, and you guys are involved. The family's there. That's got to be, you know how much Schumacher is spending in some of those other teams. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, you guys are spending a lot of money, but it's got to feel really good knowing that you guys are, you know, like you said, spanking them and you guys are doing it on, you know, as an independent.
Yeah, it really does. And I know that those guys over there are probably catching heck from all different sides because, you know, they have been a dominating force. They've gone out and not only outrun us, but made us like it for quite a few years. And the last few years, the tides have changed. And Richard Hogan, Bobby Lagana, everyone on that Capco team has really stepped up. We keep our heads down and just work really hard. And we've been able to flex our muscles a little bit and not only outrun them every now and then, but, you know, quite a bit.
Well, that being said, I mean, heading into this year, you were damn close last year, Steve. I mean, you know, and you and I talked about this in person, and I think you had a little bit of a chip on your shoulder coming into this season. But I mean, you couldn't have expected what you guys are doing. I mean, you want to have a year like you're having, but it's not something you can plan on.
No, it's not. You know, last year was the best year of my career, and I'll tell you, I did have a chip on my shoulder. I wasn't just a little bit bothered about it. I was all out pissed off, and it took a few races for me to kind of figure out, hey, I need to go out here and have a good time and just stay focused, stay intense as I've ever been. But you can't be mad about it. I mean, it is what it is, and the points are going to be what they're going to be. But I think that I got a stat last night from my PR guy that said we've won 12 races out of the last 30, and that's more than double what anybody else has done. So I think that everybody knows that we're there for business, and you know, we're a force to be reckoned with, and you can't argue that fact.
Yeah, well, and it's not just you've been fast this year. I mean, you know, your dad, he's been pretty damn quick too.
He has, and it's fun to see. My old man shows up, and you know, everybody gives him crap for being 60 and racing Top Fuel, and what's he doing? Does he really think he can compete? And then he goes out there and goes to a couple different semis, and he and I race heads up and have the best race of the weekend. And you know, the last race he was at Topeka, he's out there and I was first best average reaction time through qualifying, and he was second best. So I mean, not only is it fun, but it makes me proud to know that my old man's out there banging heads with the best of us.
Yeah, well, there's an ongoing joke I've heard before, and they said guys like John Force, he gets up there in age, they just give him more horsepower. So is your dad that quick, or is the team sliding him a little more horsepower they just haven't given you yet?
Man, I don't know. I'll tell you, I do notice that he has some new stuff and new parts and pieces. But with all that being said, his name's on the bottom of all the checks. So they may be fudging him a little bit and giving him an advantage. whatever it takes. We just got to keep the sponsor happy, and at the end of the day, he's the sponsor.
As long as you, as long as your old man's happy, you guys are going racing, and life is good, right?
Right. I told him, I said, man, if this doesn't work out, we can at least go race with Beaver over there in that desert stuff. You, I mean, you spin out or have a wreck or whatever, you get to keep going in that deal. We're done in less than 4 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I know your mom, we're talking to her in Vegas. She looked at me, and I said, hey, I got to apologize. I said, I think your son found another hobby. And she just kind of looked at me, and she says, yeah, he's got a lot of hobbies, and all of them are expensive.
Mama Kay's never going to be at a loss for words or beat around the bush. She's going to tell you exactly how it is at all times. And, yeah, she's pretty correct on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to talk real quick about this schedule, because I'm just looking down here, and you guys, you're not having much of a breather here lately. I mean, it's just event after event. You guys are in a hell of a stretch, and this thing, what do you got? You got Bristol coming up. You turn around, what is it, the NHRA, the Summit NHRA Nationals. I mean, you guys are just, bam, how do you guys keep it together? I mean, that's got to be pretty tough on the team. I know you're able to go home at least for a day or two and you know, catch a breath, but how about everybody else on the team?
Man, I'll tell you what, when we have these deals where we raced three in a row, we were off a week, we had one race, and we're off a week, and now it's four in a row. The summertime, they got us stacked up on the schedule quite a bit, and you're right, I get to go home and go to work and kind of get a breather, but these guys are on the road 3 and 4 weeks at a time, and it beats the crap out of them. As a driver, it's good because you get to stay in your routine, you go out there, and it's doing it. It's repetition, and you don't have any lag time. But the guys that are working on these things, I mean, it's gruesome when you're living in a hotel every night, and three nights out of the week, you're working on a race car till 10, 11 o'clock at night, especially having these late sessions like we have in the summertime. I mean, that's when these guys really earn their money and earn their keep. And those Capco boys, I've told you this time and time again in person while we're at the races and you know, just talking, they're the best. I mean, those guys have rose to the occasion anytime they needed to, whether you wreck a car and put one together in 45 minutes or, you know, you go back-to-back races. I mean, we've been able to assemble a team of just bad hombres, and, I mean, it's showing.
Well, and, you know, and that being said, I mean, when you're in a stretch like this that you guys are in where it's back-to-back and you're winning like you are, it makes it a little bit easier for them to want to do the job too, right?
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, hell, you can do anything if you're winning. It makes all those explosions and burn-up parts and bad days, all that goes away at least for a little bit until the bills come in. But when you're winning, I mean, you just keep going. You know, it's a little extra gas in the tank, a little more fuel for the fire, and you keep firing on all eight.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that being said, you were talking about, you know, you get into repetition. You as a driver, I mean, you know, and I know with me in a desert, it's a little bit different because we have big off seasons and every track is different. But with you guys, I mean, every track has a little bit differences. But you think it's been really in this points battle that you're in? I mean, the repetition and just in and out of the car and you know, you kind of get into a groove of things. Is it, you know, has it been easier for you once you fall into that groove just to kind of go in and just click off these rounds?
Yeah, it is easier. I mean, the more times you go down the racetrack, the more often you're in the car, the better you're going to do. And, you know, last year we made probably 180, 190 laps in a season, which is typically a lot more than any team will average just because you're going rounds. You go, you know, four qualifying rounds, and then you go to the final, you got eight laps in a weekend, and you do that time and time again, and just going rounds makes you a better driver because you're more comfortable in the seat. You have more experience. And anytime you can do that back-to-back weekends, like Clay went two finals in a row and two wins, you drive better. You go out there, and, I mean, it's you don't have any time that you can really get in one of these things and practice. You know, it's always qualifying or it's always race day. So the more laps you make, the more repetition you make, the more comfortable you get, and you stop being a driver and you just turn into – somebody that's sitting in the seat reacting. You're just another part of the car instead of something that is a thinking process. And the less thinking you do, the better you are.
Well, that's definitely the truth, man. So I got to ask you, you know, we're talking some NHRA here. We'll circle back to that. But I got to tell you, man, we made a lot of changes, a lot of upgrades this Polaris Razor I got in the shop. And I got to tell you, the entire inside of the car, you wouldn't even notice it. But I'm keeping that seat warm for you sometimes, Steve-O. So I'm just putting it out there, buddy.
Hey, I've been keeping track with you on social media. I saw you got a new brake and all the aluminum stuff on the inside. I just said old Beaver's getting that thing ready for me, man. He knows it. He knows that I'm back and in business. And me and AB are coming out. Chocolate and cream, it's going to be, I mean, you know, I don't know if they're ready for us. We just gave them a little taste at the 400, but when we come back, we're unleashing the fury on them, brother.
Chocolate and cream 2.0, I dig it, man. This is going to be, I don't know if I want to race with you guys. I may just stand back and watch this. I may just hang out with Natalie and watch the show.
No, we're going to need you for cleanup. I mean, we're there for lap one and two, and then you're going to finish it for us.
All right. I get to drive what's left.
no need for that.
No, I got to say, both of you guys did a hell of a job, man. There was neither one of you put a ding on the car, so I can't ask for much more out of teammates, man. But that being said, man, we got to circle back. NHRA, obviously, we're kind of about mid-season now. I mean, what did you learn from last year? You know, we got the stretch coming up. You know, a lot of rounds back to back to back over the summer. I mean, you know, how do you stay up on top?
Just stay focused. Just keep keep in mind the end goal is those last six races of the season. So everything we're doing now is preparing for the countdown, preparing to chase that championship real hard, and just be geared up to finish strong. You know, last year we had a really good car all season long. We won 8 of the 24 races. So, I mean, we were winning at every third race we went to, we won. And when we had that wreck in the countdown, it just took us out of contention. We weren't able to rebound as quick as we needed to. And so I think our main focus this year is to have a more diverse setup and not solely depend on this one car. So we may change cars or change parts and pieces out through the year that just are for backup. They're for spare in the event that you have that situation happen. You never plan for that the way that you actually should until it happens to you. And then it's kind of like, you know, the horse you brought died and you got to ride another one.
I love how you always bring the cowboy back into things, man. That's
Hey, what about at Richmond? I brought all them badass cowboys out on the stage with them new Resist All hats.
Yeah, I saw that, man. I like it. You always got your own flavor to everything, and I think that's why the fans dig it too, man.
Yes, sir.
Well, Steve, I gotta say, man, we're running close to a break here, but I appreciate you taking the time to call in. Congrats on the win. It's been fun watching you boys, and I think some point this year, I think what is around the Seattle round, I think we're all going to go play in some rally cars up there around Seattle. So I'm looking forward to that, man.
I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to take a trip up to Dirtfish and see if us old straight line special guys can make some corners in the dirt.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to that trip. Out all the ones I got to take this summer, I think that one's going to be probably the most fun. So, thanks a lot, my friend, and good luck the rest of this year.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
That was my brother Steve Torrance with Capco, your points leader in Top Fuel in NHRA, coming off a big win this past weekend. You can catch him in action again this next weekend. Man, they are in one hell of a stretch there in NHRA. But we're going to take a short break. Coming back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, wrapping things up on an awesome, awesome show. Big thanks to Steve Torrance for calling in today. Obviously, Amy Hood, Keegan Kincaid, my boy Matty Brabham. Lots of fun, man. Kind of an eclectic group. Different IndyCar driver turned off-road racer. Off-road racer, OG, legit family legacy. And then we've got Steve Torrance, my Star Car teammate and NHRA badass on the line. So never a dull moment today on the show. Man, we got Pro Motocross. We got a couple of Lucas rounds back-to-back with the Midwest Short Course one and then the one in Wheatlands, Missouri. We got NHRA. We got more IndyCar coming at you after a week break this weekend. So locked and loaded, ARX. Man, what else do we have to talk about? X Games coming up at some point. It's going to be one hell of a ride, man. But thank you to Polaris Razor, General Tire, Subaru, Vision Wheel, Casey Allies, Gibson Exhaust, Dirtfish, Impact, Optimus, Moto Shield Pro, Terracross, and the Blue Water Resort and Casino. I am at JimBeaver15. Amy is at AmyHood71 on all forms of social media. Don't forget, rate, review, subscribe to Project Action as well as the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Project Action, I got Brittany Palmer coming up this week, so you'll definitely want to catch that interview. And make sure and check out our website, downanddirtyshow.com, for all that written content we've been dropping and all the fun that we've been having over there. Anyways, catch me on Lucas Oil TV this weekend calling the Midwest Short Course round. Hopefully we'll see you there. I'll be doing social media while I'm there too. Get a hold of me at JimBeaver15. Be safe as always. See you next week, and game on.